Guardian Unlimited.
Andras Schiff introduces Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 11 in B-flat major, Opus 22.
We end this program with a very grand sonata, Opus 22, B-flat major. Again, it's on a grand scale, it's in four movements, and this is a real virtuoso piece, probably intended for his own purposes, for performances in the great Viennese palaces. And it starts like this. Exposition. Again, it starts with an upbeat. It's allegro con brio, so it's a very vigorous allegro. It's not a tempo ordinario. If Beethoven would just write allegro, then it's a normal tempo, but this is vigorous. And this upbeat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. It's very difficult. This note is tenuto, and the 1, 2 are staccatos. So, and then there is this like a snare drum, and this is already like a motif, and then it runs through the whole movement. The previous sonatas were very chamber music, like we spoke often of string quartets. This is really orchestral. This is brilliant, and it's on a large scale, and everything is orchestrated, and we can hear really the full orchestra and the tuttis. And so let's just play a little more. Again, yum, pum, pum, pum. In earlier sonatas, we spoke of the Mannheim rocket. This is again an example of the Mannheim rocket, like we had in London. Or yum, sol, yum. It's unison, it's rhetorical, and it's speaking. Then the bass takes over. And this is a wonderful passage. And we are on the vexil dominante, the dominant of the dominant. So, and again, look at this passage. This is a revolutionary piano technique. I mean, nobody before Beethoven used figurations like that. Very difficult, unfortunately, but... And then the sudden sforzandi, and then... And he writes pianissimo. So again, also the dynamics in this sonata are extreme. You have from pianissimo to fortissimo. And in the earlier sonatas, what we heard before, the dynamics were on a much more normal or modest level. Comes the second theme, but again in unison. And here I must speak about the connection with the other great B flat major sonata, the Hammerklavier Opus 106. And this is to me like a force study for the Hammerklavier sonata, because there are really important connections. When we get to the Hammerklavier, we will speak about it. But it's very important that it's built on thirds. Everything is in third. For example, the fugue. And you can go. So here in this Opus 22, we have already an interval of the third, and then the melody goes in thirds. The variation. And then gets a little insecure here. Then comes a very virtuoso concertante passage. Extroverted here, the music, then... And then you hear this tremolo. This is a timpani roll. Again, like in the previous sonata, the constant changes of major and minor. The Napolitan coloring of the F and G flat, and again, look at the thirds. It's a really pure Hammerklavier sonata. Then, development section. It's quite interesting. We stop on this dominant of G minor. And now comes something quite intricate and full of imitations. When we had this quite in a positive sense primitive theme. And now it becomes anything but primitive, because you have the ascending version in the bass and the descending one in the soprano. And again, it's this motif. So everything together. Is happening. We have this drum motif, tapa-tapa-tam, and arpeggi, but one should really follow the bass line, how the bass is descending always lower and lower, and it gets more and more mysterious. Closing motif is suddenly, which he shows it in a totally different light, and the semiquavers. Long dominant. So we have again 17 bars of dominant. And he closes this on a fermata. It's the last time that he will ever do something like that, to stop on a fermata before a recapitulation. And turns. So the recapitulation is quite traditional. There are no major surprises here. The second movement is Adagio con gran espressione. Again, not a tempo ordinario, but something quite extraordinary, very operatic, very Italian. It's in the time signature of 9/8, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8. And you should think of the adagio in units of 3. So if you beat a very slow 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then comes the theme. It's in 9/8, and the dynamics are pianissimo. And again, it's like almost a contradiction in terms, because con gran espressione, and yet you have to be very expressive in pianissimo. So it's a very difficult thing to do. Again, I talked before about Beethoven, the master of legato, and here you have again a legato slur of 8 bars long. It's something that no violinist would play on one bow. It's impossible, but you have to think in one bow, in one line. And then the expression of this music is something really a novelty. You have to think in terms of what kind of music we had at that time. And Beethoven brought something really new into music, and I would call that gravity, and the sheer weight of this music. Important to always to keep this pulse of the 9/8. You can hear yom bom 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 bom, and above that the melody can be free and expressive. I think that's the idea of what later Chopin and Liszt used as tempo rubato, but what we already see that in Mozart, and Mozart said that he didn't like when Clementi's two hands were always together. So this is what he means, that he rom pom 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 pom. Grand espressione, this sospiri, these sighing motifs. Then this adagio is in sonata form. It's on a huge scale. The exposition finishes. The pulsation of the 9/8, yom bom bom, and this is really mysterious, and the harmony it's really extraordinary even in 2005 today. It is so dissonant. And he's taking just a fragment from the main theme. And using this fragment and taking even smaller fragments from it. Again, we reached the threshold, the dominant. Pianissimo. return. Again, we have the Lydian. It's beautiful. Yes. So, the third movement is relatively lighter because we had a huge symphonic first movement and the slow movement of the greatest gravity. Now comes something quite Haydn-esque. Very simple 4 bars, 8 bars phrases, but even here, nothing is ever so innocent. This G flat is just a little knife in the back. And then the second part, again, something quite new and revolutionary. It's like very orchestral, like an orchestral tremolo. Yes. And then the trio section of this minuet is quite dramatic. And I just finish the main part and go into the trio. Hammer Clavier Sonata and the third, you hear the third. Those are the main notes, and then. Stole this a little bit in his humoresque. And so this is the minuet, and then this sonata finishes with a beautiful rondo, allegretto, so not a fast movement. It is a little bit like the last movement of the spring sonata. The Opus 7 Sonata. So this one goes like that. Cantabile singing style, and again this technique of playing octaves in legato, it's very new for Beethoven. And then the inner voice is here, beautiful. Thank you. comes the first transition theme. Counterpoint is extraordinary, and how he inverts the counterpoint. What was a bass and the soprano line, and then they change places. And then comes something concertante. Using the fragments of the theme and imitating. This is also very Beethovenian, then using just duplets, then triplets, then semiquavers, and then. Then comes something quite important. We heard this theme quite innocently before, and now in the minor and dramatic. Something like a toccata, quite mysterious and very exciting. It's a wonderful way of writing for the piano. So really, only a very great pianist can think of something like that. And then this sounds quite Hungarian, but I'm partial here. Yeah, so it's a rum and. Fugato, or a fake fugato, because it doesn't follow its row. Toccata. Hungarian. And then suddenly changes the atmosphere in the bass back to. Pianissimo. This is wonderful because it's like a written out trill, but it somehow he smuggles in the theme without any preparation. Again, he gives the theme to the viola and the cello. Oh. first violin takes over. I think that's in a string quartet, all people are equal, but then the first violin still gets to lead. C'est la vie. Variations. To mention the coda, because again it relates to the minuet's trio. So, now, that's Opus 22, and I think that's about everything I can say to you about at the moment. Thank you very much.